Where he is now is he's talking about an atomism that believes in free will. So the first kind of atomism, one kind of atomism, doesn't believe in free will. That was, behavioralism and Marxism, right? And now we're looking at an atomism that is materialistic atomism. The physical world is the only thing that exists. There's no non-physical spiritual world. And so what is the materialistic atomism that believes in free will? Well, he calls it, he says, actually, there are two kinds here, hedonism and egoism. And so he says a hedonistic form, and he says these are kind of overgeneralizations, but he's going to work with these anyway, because they'll help us to see what he's talking about here. So a hedonistic form of free will, he says, is that we live for one thing or we live for another thing. And then, of course, there are arguments over, what is it that we should live for? So the egoist, he says, indicates that we should exercise our free will for our own benefits, our own personal benefits, whatever will get us ahead, says the egoist, right? Whatever is best for me, that's what I should work toward, says the egoist. So that's it's a materialistic, atomistic position. But you do have free will, and your free will is to be exercised in what benefits you, says the egoist.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as we jump through the kind of three areas, we can kind of see the value of the classification that he has here is, with the mundanist, you have to deal with reality. I mean, it seems very hard to come up with a concept that everything is just an illusion, and the people die and people change and people have hard lives and other people don't. So you're just saying that that's all kind of an illusion. And then with the kind of spiritualist and materialist person, you are still questioning, without a God, we're coming at these from a non-Christian point of view here. What does spiritual mean? And so we have to kind of think of those things, because we're trying to find where we deviate. And so even questions of the physical are need to be approached here. And here you have only the physical, and so you come up against things in the physical world that people kind of almost take for granted, and they go, well, what about you as a person? You are different from your brother, but you come from the same person. So how does your personality exist? And how does things like love exist? And how does you going out throughout your day, how do you do those things? And so that's the benefit that we can already start to see here, and especially talking about hedonism and egoism here, is that focusing on choice is a very good avenue to take on having a more full picture of putting somebody into a proper category of the worldview, so that way we can talk to them on their level to have this internal critique. And so hopefully you're seeing that with what's being covered here. So all that to say then that if those who aren't egoist or hedonist ultimately become unitarianism or utilitarianism, those are not egoist or hedonist. This utilitarian says that you should do what is best, what is the best interest of the most amount of people, or the most people or other people. The greatest happiness for the greatest number is what should govern free will. So there exists free will. And so when you come up to a particular decision, what you should or ought to do, which should be some key points right there, is to say, well, what would make the most amount of people happy, or what would be best for the most amount of people? So, the world's coming to an end by aliens, and they want the sacrifice of one newborn child. Should we do it? Well, we sacrifice the one baby for 7 billion people on Earth, and then the aliens go away. Good.
Yeah, we do that? So, So yeah, notice the egoist is focused on me, the individual, and the utilitarian is focused on everybody else involved. So the egoist says what's best for me in terms of my ability to make decisions. I'm not determined, right? My actions are determined. The utilitarian says what's best for everybody involved. And again, actions aren't determined under the utilitarian kind of rubric that he's given us, but they're based on what is the greatest good for the greatest number.
Right. Democracy, locking people up so people have free will. They know the repercussions to their actions, and they violate other people's happiness or free will. And so that's when you have to lock them away, because they're responsible for their actions because they have free will. And also, this is the greatest happiest for the greatest amount of people. You don't want that person interfering with one or more people. They've already done so. And so we have to remove them from society, at least for a time, maybe forever, depending on the extent of it. And so Democratic humanist would be this utilitarian point of view avenue. But then there's existentialism, and this is kind of the final one under the category of hedonism, or the free will understanding of material atomism, is externalism. Externalism stresses the freedom of man so much that, according to the existentialists, nothing governs what you will be. You come into this world as an existent, and then you will be able to choose what you do. And so, Sartre's model for those who have read him.
Right, right. In fact, that's what he tells us here. The existentialist, then, in terms of free will, is it goes to the extreme, right? For the existentialist, you don't do what you do because of what the school teacher told you, or the priest, or the pastor, or the parents. You do what you do because you choose it. And in your choosing, you determine who you are, right? Existentialism has a radical doctrine, he says, of freedom. And as you mentioned here, you first exist and then you choose your essence. The famous existentialist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre put it, existence precedes essence, right? And so, generally we think of, the way Sartre argues here is that, we generally think that things have an essence, right? For instance, there's when someone goes to build a house, there's a blueprint. Well, that's what the house is going to look like. That's the essence of the house. And then based on the essence, they bring the house into existence. Sartre says, no, life is really just the opposite of that. We kind of come into existence. We have no idea who we are, or what we are, or what we're going to be, or anything like that. And then our choices determine who we are, our essence. So existence precedes essence is what Sartre was attempting to say here. So choices are everything for the existentialists. They, again, determine who you are. So you'll be whatever you are or whoever you are. It's based on what you choose, says the existentialist.
Right. And last time we talked about kind of the matrix being the monism viewpoint of kind of growing and being able to kind of see reality better. The third Matrix movie, for those who may have gotten there and been able to get past the all the cool special effects for their time, the idea of why do you choose to fight is the big question at the end. And Neo says, because I choose to. So it's not the program that he was conditioned to. Yes, he's the one, but why does he continue to fight even though his loved one is dead and Zion's going to fall? Why does he choose to continue to fight against unimaginable odds? Because Agent Smith has taken over everything within the Matrix, and the one great line in the whole movie is because I choose to. And so that's Neo becoming the existentialist. So the thing that distinguishes these three basic schools of philosophy is their view of the nature of reality. It is the is it one or is it spiritual? Is it two, mind or what we call spirit and body? Or is it one, but it's material, made up of these kind of little bits, and that's all there is there, and there's nothing spiritual about it. These are the distinctions: matter or spirit, or both, many things or one thing. If you get that grid set up in your mind, is what Bonds is saying. Just about any view you encounter is going to fall into one of those categories, whether they use this vocabulary or not. And when we went through Nancy Piercy's book, Finding Truth, this is the, you know, that this is the box. This is the people that this the box sets in front of everyone, and they try to fit everything within the entirety of the known universe or the unknown universe into this box. And there are people that want to close the lid before everything gets in. And so they leave it out, and we have to say,
well, there's no such thing as free will. Yeah.
Right. So. Or you don't really have love, and, the baseball flying at you that hit you and caused you never to play baseball again when you were six, that's out the window, and that didn't really happen to you. But I'll tell you really what happened to you. You just thought it was, or you didn't leave a good enough life, and so you experienced this pain showed you that you're gonna become the next sacred cow, literally for in your next life.
All right. Good.